You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
Like I say, it's all about Jesus.
All about Jesus.
Amen. And so we want to welcome you out. If it's your first time here, we're the Potter's House Church. We meet here every Sunday, every Wednesday. Sundays we meet here at 3 o'clock. Service starts hour early for prayer. And also on a Wednesday we meet here at 7 o'clock. And so we want to welcome you as a guest. We do appreciate you coming out. We also have some visitors bags, welcome bags. And so they're just in the foyer there. So after the service, please do not leave before you go to our welcome desk and collect what is rightfully yours. Amen. If you could get in your Bibles, please, Judges 16 verse 20. Judges 16 verse 20. We are in a series called Love Life, and we've been looking at the dynamics of relationships. And just to recap, we looked into when fear is present in relationships, the damage that fear can do in relationships. We also looked at bitterness, when bitterness can be in relationships. But how many know we have a Redeemer? We have Jesus Christ who redeems us and changes us, and we can be set free because the Bible says he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and a love and a sound mind. Also, we understand that we do not need to be bitter. God has redeemed us from bitterness. What I want to minister today on is a little bit more serious. When I say serious, meaning that it can cause great implications. It has it can do damage. And what I mean by this is that in our world today, there are many horror stories when it comes to relationships. That they start well, but people end up in a bad situation from the relationship or from the person that they've met in a relationship. Can I say to you today is that when you, or let me use myself. Me and my wife, we've known each other for, I think it would be coming up to, I know we've been married 10 years, 11 years this year. We've also, we dated a few years before we actually got married. So we've been together. If you take dating and marriage, then, you know, 13 years. But I knew her in the church 2 years before that. So I'm working out as I'm speaking to you, amen. And so, quite a while, amen. And meeting this woman and marrying her, well, getting to know her as a friend, a sister in the church, then we dated, then being married, is that I thank God I met her. I thank God that she's in my life. It's the after Christ, it's the most influential person I've ever met in my life. I'm so blessed to have met her and have her in my life, and I'm so glad. But let me tell you this now, not every relationship can testify to that. I've met many men and women that have got into a relationship with somebody and they've actually said, this was the worst person I ever met. This is the person that hurt my life the most. This is the person that has messed me up. This is the person, when you mention their name, they have the most venom for. We spoke about the bitterness last week. This is the person that really has caused such a destruction to my life. People kind of entered into love and they come out of it a victim. They come out of it being really hurt. And so in the scriptures, when we're thinking about this type of relationship, there is no finer example than Samson and Delilah. There is no finer example than Samson and Delilah. When you say Samson, you automatically want to say Delilah. I want to look at the reasons behind this and how you get to this bleak position and also how you get out of it. How many know we need redemption?
Yes,
Judges 16 verse 20, read along with me. And the Bible says, as she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. When the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza, they bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. I want to read 21 again. And the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. And they bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you for your anointing. Father, we claim the dominion that you have given us in this service right now. We come against every unclean spirit in this place. Father, we pray that your word would go forth unhindered. Father, I pray that the hearts of men and women would be exposed and open. I pray that every fleshly guard that we put up against your word, Father, would be ripped to shreds, and your word would pierce our hearts. Father, that it would wound the flesh, that the spirit man may come alive. Save in this place, redeem in this place, confront in this place, heal in this place. We ask you all of this because we know that you can do a multiplicity of things in one service. And most of all, let Jesus be magnified, and all God's people said,
amen.
Here is this man. We know the story. If you don't know the story, Samson is called by God to be a judge, meaning a leader in God's over God's people. And he starts with a good life. He starts with blessing. He starts, God speaks to his parents even before he's even born, gives promises about his life, what's going to happen. But where we see this guy, this is not where a man wants to be. Your eyes plucked out. How many know that's not where we want to be? Bound in prison, being used and abused by the enemies of God's people. A good start, but when we look in the text here, this is not a good look. And the reason why this man has got to this point is because of a relationship. What started that looked and had the veneer of love ends up as a horror story. And what it is that the position that we see him, he's bald, blind, and bound. Bald, she's cut off his hair, it's given him a fade. He's blind, they've taken out his eyes, and he's bound. And I want to say that there are many people today that you, in the spirit realm, this is how they are. They're bald. What we say is that the glory has been removed from their life. There is no glory. There is no real dominion. There is nothing which really reflects the impartation of God upon their life. This is why people debase themselves and live just as just any other animal, claiming that we've just evolved like any other animal. Can I say to you that God has designed you and made you to be different?
Yeah.
A removal of strength and glory. Blind. No direction to their life. Cannot see the way that they're going. Making decisions that destroy their lives. Bound, no freedom. Our world today is a world where people do not have, they say, oh yeah, we're free, there's no chains on me. But what about the addictions that you have? What about the cycles of life that you keep doing that you know that's destructive for you? How many people, they know that smoking is bad for them, but they still smoke? There are some people, they know that that action that they're doing is not good for them, but they can't break out of it because they're bound. Some people, it's just cycles of thought where it keeps going around and around and around and around. Bald, blind, bound. This is where we find Samson. And many times this is where people find themselves because of the outcome of a relationship. Now I want you to understand this, that Delilah was Samson's choice. So yes, he's ended up, the locks have been cut off, he's blind, he's bound, but this was done through Delilah, but Delilah was his choice. Think about this now, she did not threaten him to do what he did. She did not say, listen, if you don't do what I say, Samson, I'm going to deal with you. I'm going to deal with your family. No, it was of his own free will. She did not kidnap him. She did not kidnap him. She did not take him, not of his own will, kidnap him, roll him up, tie him up. No, 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 no. He confessed to her of his own free will. She didn't torture him. See, the story goes like this, is that God said to Samson, is that I enter into a vow with you that you don't cut your hair. And because of this vow that we have together, you know, I'm going to be with you and I'm going to be upon you, and you get strength, supernatural strength. He had supernatural strength. Many times when we think about Samson, you can watch films and programs and Samson is like hench. Samson's walking around, he's just hench. He's like about 7 foot, massive biceps. He's just hench. But really and truly, the Bible doesn't even say that. The Bible says his strength wasn't natural. The strength that he had, he might have been just totally like, just like a little weedy guy. If you were to look at him, you might have thought, that guy can't do nothing. But when he would get into a battle, when he would get into a confrontation and God would come upon him, some supernatural strength, and he could just deal with 100 men. But the Bible says that was connected to the vow. Don't cut your hair. So Delilah, this is his girlfriend, he's sitting with her. And so 3 times she asks him, what is the secret? And he tells her, like he pretends, he says, oh, it's this, it's that. And then she does those things. And you're thinking, hold up, Samson, can you not see what this woman is doing to you? When you read the story, see, many times in relationship, people are wounded and they live out a horror story. But this is a self-inflicted wound. Delilah is a self-inflicted wound. Delilah is just a weapon. There are people that harm, self-harming, people that cut themselves. This is a tragedy to basically distract from the emotional pain or the emotional rejection or the emotional things that they're going through. So they self-harm. It's demonic. It's a demonic expression because the devil wants to destroy mankind. He hates you. He hates me because you reflect God. You are a testimony. You are a walking billboard that there is a God in heaven who designed you and made you. And that's why the devil hates everything about you, hates everything about us, wants to destroy us. This is why he wants you to cut yourself and draw on yourself and do all types of things to destroy yourself. And so here is these, you know, people that harm themselves. If you get a knife and you're cutting yourself, how many of the knife is not doing the cutting, really? It's you. These are self-inflicted wounds. And people can use things. We could legislate everything. We could legislate drugs. We could legislate weapons. We could legislate alcohol. And I'm not against those legislations. But what I'm saying is, if you do not deal with the heart, man would find something. He would take this mic apart and find a little wire in there and sharpen that wire and start to inflict himself with the wire. Because he'll find anything, because it's actually not the weapon. And many times the relationships that people have chosen and people that are involved in, and the relationships that people, women get into and men get into, it becomes a self-inflicted wound. You chose that person. They didn't kidnap you. They didn't threaten you. You chose them. You chose them. It's a self-inflicted wound. The Bible says in Proverbs 14 verse 12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the ends is the way of death. See, I want to speak about the road that's taking you where you don't want to go. The road that is taking you where you don't want to go. Because Samson didn't get to Delilah overnight. Samson didn't just bump into Delilah and then all of a sudden his life was destroyed. He took some steps on a road taking him where he did not want to be. We need to learn from this man's life. The reason why God put Samson in the Bible is not so that we could just look at him and mock. Wait, he's a joker. It's so that we could learn. Yeah. Because all through time, humans are the same. And the lies are the same. They're just dressed up with different clothing. One of the first things that we know about Samson that we realize, you know what, this man is going to self-destruct soon, is that he is an impulsive man. He is an impulsive man. How do we know that? Judges 14 verse 2. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Got no business dealing with the Philistines. But he says, I've seen her. And then he says, now therefore, get her for me as a wife. This is a man who is impulsive. He's gone, he's seen this woman, and now he's saying, listen, I just want her. Not thinking about all of the things that are going on. He just says, this is what I want, this is where I'm going. Impulsive. People that make decisions, impulsive decisions, are on the road to destruction. Proverbs 14 verse 16, a wise man fears and departs from evil. A wise man fears. He's like, no, I'm not going down there. But a fool rages in self-confidence. A fool, hey, yeah, I'll just do that. Yeah, that's fine. But have you checked everything out? Do you understand what you're doing? No, I just like it. I like her. What do you like about her? Yeah, she's cool, man. What's cool about her? Yeah, she makes you laugh. She makes you laugh. Yeah, I want him. Why do you want him? Yeah, you know, I think he could be a good man. You think? He could be. Impulsive. It's an impulse. You've met someone, you saw them, they gave you a feeling. Whoo, yeah, whoo. Yeah, she's fine. That's a feeling. And you make a decision out of that, you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer soon. I don't want to suffer. Look at someone and say, I don't want to suffer. I don't want to suffer, church. So listen, I don't have to suffer and you don't have to suffer. We don't have to suffer anymore. If we would just take some time and be less impulsive. The second thing we see about Samson, he's a man that could be worn down. He's a man that could be manipulated. Judges 14:17 says this. Now, she had wept on him for 7 days while the feast lasted. And it happened at the seventh day that he told her because she pressed him so much. Then she explained the riddle to the sons of her people. Now, let me give you the background of this. Is that here's a riddle that Samson set. And he didn't tell anybody the answer to the riddle. And so his wife has been threatened by these people. You better find out what the riddle is. And so she's going to Samson, tell me the riddle, tell me. He's like, no, I'm not telling no one the riddle. That's the rules. You can't tell nobody the riddle. And so she's pressing on him. And so here is a man that eventually he wears out. And we know the same happens with Delilah. He had principles, but his principles could be worn down. Can I say to you today, if you're going to hear anything today, hold on to your principles. If your principles can be worn down, you are nothing. If your principles can be worn down, there are things, methods can change, principles can never change. A principle, let me give you an illustration. A principle is stealing is wrong. That's a principle that I live by. Stealing is wrong. No matter what you go through, no matter what you have, what you don't have, no matter who has what, where. See, some people, they grew up as kids. You'd be like, oh no, stealing is wrong. I remember as a kid saying, no, smoking is wrong. And then by the time I got to 12, I was smoking. Because I want to fit in with all the rest. This is because I was a kid. Kids move and shift with principles, but adults should stick to their principles. Can you be worn down, or can you stick? Can you hold on to your principles and say, no, I believe in this. Come hell or high water, I won't compromise. I won't give in. I won't let go. I won't let you down. This is a principle. Yep. Here is a man whose principles could be worn out, who would shift in tough times. That you could actually start to pressurize him. Hey, this, 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 this. She's wearing him down. Can I say to you today is that when things are going well and things are going right, you could have all the highest principles. Many times when things are going easy, people have the highest principles. Oh, I would never do that. You hear about someone did something wrong, someone made a mistake, someone slipped into a sin, someone walked into a sin, someone went into sin, however you want to put it. Oh, wow, did you hear about so-and-so? Terrible. Oh, that's terrible. Oh, what they're doing. Okay, that's fine. That's good that you believe that. But what when you start to go through a trial? What when you start to go through a temptation? That's when we're going to know if it really was a principle. That's when we're really going to know. Do you have something that you can hold on to? Or are you going to bend and bow? Yeah. The Bible says that a man who had principle, who was unlike Samson, is Joseph. Joseph is sold by his brothers into slavery. Joseph is in Potiphar's house. He's working hard. He's working. He's on the job and he's doing his best. And now Potiphar's wife makes eyes for on him. She's making a beeline for him. She's watching him. And so I don't know what Joseph was doing. Maybe he was digging a hole. It's hot. He's taking his top off. So he's there. He don't think no one's looking at him. No one's watching him. Or maybe he's just got his vest on. He's digging. And she's looking at his biceps. She's looking at the sweat on him. He said, I want myself some of that. Nasty old woman, man. Your husband. She's watching him. So she starts making moves on him. Hey, come. She actually says, come lie with me. Come have sex with me. She's like, Joseph, listen, I could deal with you. Joseph, listen, Joseph, before you start to over-spiritualize it, Joseph has been sold. Joseph don't even know whether he's going to get any wife. Joseph could have been like, boy, it's hot out here. It's not easy out here, star. Joseph could be like, and we don't know. Listen, Potiphar's wife could have been fine. Actually, she probably was, because Potiphar's a rich man. So he probably just sorting her out. So she's looking good. And so she's going to him day after day. Listen to what it says in Genesis 39 verse 10. So it was, she spoke to Joseph day by day. Every day, come lie with me, man. Joseph, man, come on. I know you want me, man. Joseph, I know you want me, man. Joseph, I'll deal with you. Joseph, listen, I love you, man. Potiphar is potting. I'm not feeling that brother no more. Come on, Joseph, man. It should be me and you, Joseph. She's on him day after day after day. Listen, the first time you come out, listen, please. Second time, look, stop. Third time, no. Now you're like, oh, this is difficult. Woo! So you could stare at me like that, like you ain't never fought nothing but about Jesus, Moses, and Abraham. But you know, and I know, that day after day ain't no joke. Day after day. Oh, yeah, you was a good Christian for a month, for 6 months, for a year. But listen, can you live clean for year after year, year after year, year in and year out? Sister, can you still hold your righteousness and still be a woman of God year after year? No one ain't asked you for a date. No one ain't asked, showed any interest in you. You don't even know if anybody's ever going to ask if they're interested in you. But you're going to still remain holy, righteous. There's a guy at your work still, oh, you know what, you look so nice, you look so good. And he's in your job, and he's in your face, and he wants to take you to lunch, and he wants to do all these things. And you're thinking, oh, well, what's going to happen to me? I might just be alone forever. So it's going to be me, alone, my Bible, and some cats. Stroking my cats. That's... Yeah? The Bible says in the text in Genesis that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. Joseph is a man of principle. You could come day after day. Joseph just giving the same answer. No. 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 I don't care. Maybe you don't hear it. No. Nana. Nish. Nout. No. Some people need to learn that word no. Some of you would go far if you could learn that word no. If you just heard that one word, if you learn that one word, that word is biblical, that word is Bible. There's a lot of Jesus on that one word. No. Hey, let's go raving. No. Let me come around your house. No. Hey, let Let me kiss you. No. Oh, it's getting hot in there. Impulsive, and it could be worn down. If you can be worn down, then listen, you may end up in a horror story. You may end up bald, blind, and bound. And you're crying, you heard that guy, that woman. It's not that guy, it's not that woman. It's the issues here. We walk the road that leads us to the place we do not want to go. Samson walked it. The third thing is that he made decisions and he didn't consider the consequences that it had on himself or others. The Bible says that he's creating this turf war, this tribal war. He's kicking this thing off. Remember, he's married to this woman now. This is before Delilah, who's a Philistine. He's warring with these guys. And what happens is that they find out, and he sets fire to their stuff. And they say, who's done this damage? And they say, listen, it's Samson done it because his wife was given away and all of this stuff. And so they say, listen, let's just go and deal with the wife and the dad. And they burn the wife and the dad. Her dad, they die because of his decisions. That people make decisions and they do not think about the consequences to themselves or others. You're just walking blindly through life. There are young men in prison today talking about road, the system, complaining. Nonsense. Hey, let me tell you this now. They're talking about, the rich. I did it. The rich don't even care about them. Don't even know they exist. They're walking about. They don't even know they exist. The system don't even care about them. The system is just a number. And those that care about them, their mothers, their family, are the ones that have to go and visit them. The ones that have to go week in or week out and help them out. Go through the court, go through the prison, go through all the system, go through everything. The ones that love them. And if you ask them, do you love them? Yeah, I love them. But you make decisions and you don't think about them at all.
Come on, preach.
You make decisions with your life. You do not think about them at all. A man who makes decisions and he doesn't think about the consequences. We have a whole generation of men that go around having babies and do not think about the consequences. Then when you talk to them, they got the audacity to say, oh, my father's a waste man and all of that. You have become a waste man. You have become a waste man. Any man who does not take care of his children is a waste man. You're a waste. You're just an impregnator. That's what you are. If you do not take care of those children, you're not thinking about the consequences. What did you do? Oh, I liked her. I saw her. I liked her. But let me speak to women in this place. You got to think of the consequences. Listen, there are consequences, man. You see a guy, he's like, yeah, what's going on? Yeah, he's giving you some attention. You're insecure. So someone pays you attention, your head just swells up. Yeah, I got a man. Telling people, yeah, I got a man. You got something. Yeah, you got something. You sleep with that man. Listen, sex has consequences. Sex has emotional consequences. Listen, unless you are a bit mad, like, unless there's, there's some, you're not playing with a full pack of cards. There's bread, but there's nothing in the sandwich. Unless you're like that, when you sleep with people, it changes you. It's people that are not right in the head can just go around sleeping with people and they don't feel nothing. The more people you sleep with, you're dividing yourself up. Yeah. This is why there are men that sleep with loads of women, and he's the man. He's a man. No. Listen, there's something not right with him. He's divided himself. But listen, ladies, there's a consequence. You're going to have an emotional consequence because of sleeping with that guy. This is why you need to live pure. Save yourself for one man, the man that will marry you. See, our world today teaches people that sex is just basically a mechanical thing. It's not just a mechanical thing. People that this is in school, they're teaching kids to put condoms on bananas. Listen, if my youth is in the school, I will take that banana and I will give it back to the teacher. I say, you're gonna eat this banana if you do this to my kids again. And I ain't even gonna peel this thing. Some of you don't like that. Listen, ain't no joke up in there. Can't be dealing with that. Because you're teaching them like it's just a mechanical thing. It's not mechanical. See, this world has too much sex and too little love. We don't get married just to have sex. You make love to your spouse. Some of you are like, hey, can he talk about that in church? Yeah, I can talk about it in church. Because God made it. God designed it. This is church all over. An emotional consequence, sister. You give yourself to a man, and if that man doesn't keep showing you that attention, if somehow he only wanted that one thing, your self-value will go down quicker than anything this world can erode. Your self-value will be gone in an instant. Be blown away because you gave yourself to a man who hasn't showed you that he was fully going to protect you, guide you, love you, be with you all the time. There are some men here, you slept around with women and you don't call them, you don't speak to them, you diss them, and you think, I don't even call it yet. What if that was your mum? What if a guy did that to your mum? What if you heard there was a guy walking around Wandsworth and he said, yeah, I just dealt with her, I don't call her. Listen, it would be wartime. W-A-R. That's what some of you go, what? I'm gonna deal with man, talk about my mum like that, but that woman could be somebody's mum. And worse, that woman is the mum of your own children. Do you think your children are going to grow up and honor you because you dealt with your mom like that? See, there are consequences. The greatest consequence is children. See, listen, you sleep around and you have children. We can't pray for you and those children disappear. You can come to the altar 1,000 times. Those consequences are never going to change. These are consequences. Some of you are like, listen, I grew up in a single parent home. I grew up in a single parent home. I grew up in a house where there was no dad. No one ever taught me to shave or how to be a man or how to speak to a woman. I grew up in a house. I am the consequence of other people's decisions. And so I say, and many of you have experienced it as well. Samson was a man who did not consider the consequences on himself or others. The fourth thing, he's a man who's unaccountable. He's not accountable to anybody. He won't let nobody speak into his life. I don't want nobody watching me. Don't watch me. You can't go through life like that. And listen, you can't be in the church like that. I don't know what to watch me. Ain't no one here can tell me nothing. Maybe you shouldn't be up in here. Maybe you should be down there. He's not accountable to anybody. You never see him. And actually, what you see him doing is hiding. Because the Bible says in Judges 14 verse 9, he took some of it in his hand and went along eating. And when he came to his father and his mother, he gave some to them. And they also ate, but he did not tell them that it had been taken, the honey, out of the carcass of the lion. Here is a man who's not accountable. The Bible says in Proverbs 11, verse 14, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. People that won't allow anybody to speak into their life, where there is no counsel. Yeah. This is the problem that we've created in our generation today, is we've created a youth culture. The problem with a youth culture is this, is youth advising youth.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep. This is youth advising youth. But if you've never been somewhere, you can't tell me how to get there.
Yeah, that's true.
Youth advising you. What do you think? Yeah, I think the same as you. Yeah, then it must be right. Huh? That's a circular logic. That's what that's called. Circular logic. I'm right because I'm right. Yeah. What we have is an idolatry of youth culture. Meaning, are they old? They don't know. If you're old, you don't know. You ain't cool. You don't know how to dress. You don't know about Air Force and these trainers, this tracksuit, this jacket. No, I don't. I don't know. But I know how to make a marriage work. I know how to make a business work. I know how to work a job. I know how to serve God. I know how to things that actually add quality and value to my life. See, this is not even about age. This is about, can people advise you? Do you seek advice? Do you want people to advise you? Or do you just want to do what you want to do? People that just want to do what they want to do will end up in a horror story. You will become wounded. You will start to inflict self wounds on yourself, self-afflicting wounds. In the Message Bible, Proverbs 11:14 says, without good direction, people lose their way. And the more wise counsel you follow, the better your chances. The better your chances. See, when I was dating and preparing for marriage, I was seeking my pastor's wisdom, Pastor Peter. I was talking to Pastor Jay and seeking his advice and being accountable to him. And letting him know what I was going through and not hiding, pretending. This is what Samson is. He's a man who has, he's no accountability. He doesn't want anybody to say anything about him. Yeah. One of the things I made up in my mind very early on, church, is that I'm not going to play the game. I'm not going to act. Yeah. And so to some people, when they look at me, they be like, you know, Pastor, you're a bit rough around the edges. But what you see is what you get. With me, what you see is what you get. And if I say something that's wrong, or people, my wife can speak to me, or my pastor can speak to me, anyone can speak to me and say, Pastor, you know, where in the Bible is that? No problem. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I'm not going to pretend. Now, we understand that there are things that you do at home that you don't do when you're in public. At home, you could pick your nose. I know that's not the best illustration, but like I said, I'm a bit rough around the edges. But you don't want to do that in public. You don't want to sit in church doing that. Because we ain't going to shake your hand. Pardon me, man. But what I'm talking about is people that are hiding themselves. See, be yourself. Be who Christ is making you to be. But when we see things in you which are unChrist-like, we're going to say, hey, no, don't do that here. And you go, oh, this is not Christ-like? No, that's not Christ-like. Let's see the Bible. Oh, it's not Christ-like. I'll stop. That's it. It's not a big thing. It's not rocket science. Oh, you hate me. Why do you say this? We don't hate you. We're just saying that's not Christ. Oh, I'm rubbish. I should just destroy myself. No, that's not what we said. We just said that's not Christ. Can you live an open life? Can you be transparent and honest? Can I say to you today, one of the things that people love in any culture, in any generation, is genuine people. Yeah. Genuine people. People can sense fakeness. Yeah. There's something about us. We've all met someone like that. Fake, man. Like, all right, yeah, peace. Fake. And it's nothing worse than a fake Christian. Oh, fake Christians. Praise the Lord, brother. Too blessed to be stressed. Hey, bro, take care. I don't need to take care. God takes care of me. I know, that's not what I was saying, you know. Hey, bro, that was a good song. Don't worship me, brother. It was all God. God deserves the glory. No, I wasn't worshiping you. I was just encouraging you. Okay, you're one of those. Peace. Keep it moving. The thing here that, and I'm running out of time, but he treats God like a genie. You can't treat God like a genie. When you're in trouble, you just rub the Bible. You can't treat God like a genie. The Bible says in Judges 15, you can read it, he just calls out to God, God, I'm starving, I'm thirsty. And then after that, he goes off and finds a harlot. I remember getting locked up for something so stupid, just for a few days. It's not like I was the OG, I'm not saying that. Yeah, I did bid, man. I was in, no, San Quentin. No, I wasn't. Just locked up for something so stupid, 2 days. I remember saying, God, get me out of this. Just let me get out of this. This is stuck in this little cell. This is just a joke. And you pray. It's like a sickbed prayer, they call it. Yeah. And God got me out, and I didn't change. You use God like a genie. You've prayed prayers. God, if you get me out of this. You get yourself into a pickle, get yourself into trouble. God, if you get me out of this, I'll serve you. How many times have you prayed that prayer? If you keep praying that prayer, can I say to you today, you're going to end up in a horror story soon. You can't keep praying that prayer. God is not a genie. That when you're in trouble, you can't do that. See, what we see about this man is that he is a Nazarite. He was involved in the Nazarite vow. The Nazarite vow, really and simply, all it means is that he was separated for God's purposes. He's different. This is why he shouldn't touch dead things. This is why he shouldn't be drinking. This is why he used to grow his hair. Not that God was into locks, but God was like, he's separate. When you see him, you're like, yeah, he's different than everyone else. Yeah, he's separated for God. That's what it was about. This is the Nazarite vow, but bit by bit, you follow his life, he keeps compromising. He wasn't supposed to touch dead things. And he kills a lion, and he comes back and he sees honey in the lion's carcass, and he touches it. See, he wasn't supposed to touch a dead thing, but he sees something sweet in it. That's how we can be. We're not supposed to go there, touch that, watch that, say that, but you see something sweet in it. Bro, you ain't supposed to touch that dead thing, but you think, there's a little honey there. You had no business with that honey. See, this is where eventually he becomes bold, blind, and bound, because the last compromise that we really see that is on this man's life, he visits a harlot. He sleeps with a woman who sells her body. How could this is the furthest from being consecrated and holy and saintly. And this is where we find him in the text that I read, that now all of these compromises have led him to this place where now he's tied up. He's working in this grinding cell. His eyes have been plucked out. The last thing he saw was these soldiers grabbing him, knowing that his freedom will never be. And this is how people are at their lowest point. Their life looks like a wreck, a train wreck. It looks like a shadow of what it should have been. Their life, their decisions, you've made those decisions. These are self-afflicted wounds. You're in the bottom pit. The Bible says that they were laughing at him. They'd bring him out as a sport to mock him. The Philistines, hey, what's going on? Back then, they never had TV. They never had internet. They never had PlayStation. They would bring out Samson and they would mock him, watch him stumbling around, get drunk. They would mock him. He'd become a joke. And there are some people, because of their life, they've become a joke. Yeah, in your 20s, you look cool. It's almost cute. You're walking around with your little bob. It looks cute. But can I say to you, when you see a 40, 50-year-old man walking around with his trousers hanging down, walking around like this, yeah, what? Who are you looking at? Listen, you're a joke. It's laughable. Like, you see my man? Yeah. Back in the day, he used to be a G. Look at him now. People laugh at you. One thing to be a little chicky babe in your 20s with this guy, that guy. Sister, oh my days. You get into your 30s and 40s and you start doing that. Mutton dressed as lamb. It is so tragic. It is so tragic. And all the time, both scenarios, the devil is laughing at you. The devil has mocked you. The devil has got hold of your life and squeezed it out into nothing. When God made you to reflect his glory, when God loves you and God is so into you and God sent Jesus for you, and the devil says, listen, I'm going to vandalize you. The devil wants to vandalize you, spray his graffiti all over your life, break the things in your life, break your heart, break your mind. Then you have a nervous breakdown. You end up in Springfield or Morsley, going through, walking around in a circle, not knowing what life is, because this is the devil's plan. And there are many people today that's where they are. But I want to say to you today, the Bible says something here that I believe is so beautiful. What this scripture that I read at right now, it's almost like a dark night where there is a storm or nightmares, and all of a sudden you see the sun rise and it beams over the horizon. You know the night is over. Yeah. That's what this scripture is about to show us, that the night could be over. That something could change, that at your lowest point there can be hope, that yes, there is a road that we walk on that takes us to where we don't want to go, but can I say to you, God also has a road of recovery. Oh, thank God. Judges 16:22. However, say however. Oh, when you see however, it's saying, yeah, this guy's a joke, he's a joke, he messed up his life, but however. God has a however over your life. I don't know what you've done or where you've been or where you are, but can I say to you, however,
right.
Pastor, I'm jacked up, I'm messed up, I'm broken up. However, God has something for you. The Bible says, however, the hair of his head began to grow again. Oh, why did the Bible have to put that in there? That's not a fashion statement. Oh yeah, by the way, his hair started to grow again. No. That's God showing us something, because remember, when he lost his hair is when he lost his strength. Is when he lost what God was on him. And again, after it had been shaved, the Bible says that Samson, in his death, killed more of the enemies of God than he did his entire life. The end of his life was redeemed. The end of his life was redeemed. Can I say to you today, God has a road of recovery. God's road of recovery is called Christ. This is why we're so, this is why we, every service we say, listen, look at someone and say, it's all about Christ. That's what we say. It's all about Christ. That's why we say it. Because it is all about Christ. It's not about the chairs. It's not about the architecture. It's not about the building. It's not about the songs. It's not about the pastor. It's all about Christ. He is the road to recovery. He is the road. He's mankind's road to recovery. See, because mankind, not just individually, but mankind is like Samson. Bold, the glory is gone. What does it say in Romans 3:23? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Blind. The Bible says in Isaiah 42, to open blind eyes, to bring out of prison, to bring out the prisoner from the prison, those who sat in darkness from the prison house, to loosen their bonds. John 8 verse 36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Yes. See, God will show you a road. But you have to walk it. Today, there is a road of recovery for all of us. Maybe some of you already started to realize, I think I've started to go down a road that leads in a direction I don't want to be in. Can I say to you today, God, there's a horizon moment right now. There is the sun rising. It's just peeping over the horizon. It's just a little glint over, and it's shining into your eye. Shining into your eye. It's a road of recovery. But you've got to take the steps. See, what the Bible says is before, what happens here? Let me just rehearse this. What happens is they bring Samson out one more time. And you could feel that Samson's like, my hair's growing back. Maybe God is going to redeem me again. And he gets a little lad and he says, take me over to the columns that support everything. And the lad takes him over to the columns and he cries out to God, he prays, and he pushes the columns and everything falls down. He dies. But he weren't trying to save himself anymore. He's like, but listen, I need to redeem. I was supposed to be a judge. I was supposed to do damage on these enemies of God's people. The road back, a few steps need to be taken that we see in his life. One is humility. Now he says to the Bible says he was a little lad, lead me. We never see him ever letting anybody lead him, but now a little boy can lead him. See, can you be so humble that God can use any means to lead you? Have you decided, these are the people that will lead me. I'll only listen to this type of people. Oh, the church must be like this. Humble yourself. Can I say to you, I am a little lad of a pastor. Meaning I am not some sort of super preacher that lightning bolts come out my fingertips. All I know is the word of God, and week in and week out, I'm going to preach it. This church is just a normal church full of little people. We are just ordinary people, but we're on a mission for God. Can you come into this congregation and say, you know what? Lead me. Help me. Show me. Yes. Is there enough humility in you? Yes. See, until there's humility, you will not start to walk on the road of recovery. Yes. Just a little boy, lead me. Could you just lead me? I realize I've been going through life with pride and arrogance, and I was just doing, lead me. And the boy leads him. Can someone like that lead you? I want God to speak to me. God, why? Where are you? And God's like, listen, there's a little lad there, and he could show you. No, I don't want that. God, where are you? God has been trying to lead some people. You know the beauty of ministry that I've seen? Parents come to Jesus because their children came to Jesus. There are parents in this church. Can I say that takes humility? Mm-hmm. That takes humility.
Come on.
To come into the house of God because your kid is saying, come to church, and to come.
Yep.
That takes humility. And that's beautiful. Not only that, he prays to God, and this time it's a prayer of faith. He starts to trust God. Why do I say that? Because think about this now. He's like, he's going to step out in faith. Because he's in front of these columns, these two columns, and he's going to push it. Imagine if God never helped him. Imagine what he'd look like. They would have laughed even more. Look at that. But he prays and he puts his trust. Listen, humility and cry out to God. Start to trust him. You got to trust God again. Stop trusting yourself. Stop trusting yourself, your own ways. Remember what we read in the scripture, there is a way that seems right to you. You know, the arrogance of us is that we always think we're smarter than the other people. We always think we're smarter than everybody else. Like we see people that destroy their lives all the time. It would never happen to me, but you're doing exactly what they did. Yeah, but no, I'll beat the system. No, you won't. Because that's what they thought 5 years ago. And that's what people before them thought 10 years ago. And it just keeps going. When will you stop trusting yourself and say, I'm going to trust God? The third thing is self-sacrifice. Humility, faith, and self-sacrifice. See, this is the point where Samson says, I'm willing to die. I'm willing to die. When he was willing to die, he did more damage than the whole time he was alive. Now, I'm not saying that we've got to die. There are Christians that are dying for their faith. Probably most of us won't. We don't know how things can go, but probably most of us won't. And God's not just saying only those that die for their faith are going to make it to heaven. But you know what God is saying is that we need to die to self. The old you. The old you has to die. The old Courtney has to die. Day by day, I have to put the old Courtney on the altar and walk in the newness. You have to put the old you. If you want to walk the road of recovery, you've got to let the old you die. Everything, some people, everything you do is because you do it. That's the problem. You are your worst enemy. Samson was his worst enemy. All the problems Samson got into, he made them. He made these problems. He stands in front of these two middle pillars and he pushes them down. There are two pillars that destroy people's lives that we need to push down. And every single one of you will need to push these two pillars down. Every single one of you. If you do not deal with these two pillars, you will not make it. You will make some decisions, some mistakes. We all need to push them. Pride and lust.
Yep.
Amen.
If you can push these two pillars down,
yep.
But to push them down, it takes self-sacrifice.
Yeah.
Samson couldn't have pushed them down without sacrificing himself. This is why many people, they don't get the victory over pride and they don't get the victory over lust. It's because you're not willing to sacrifice. Galatians 5 verse 24, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
The Bible says, if those that are Christ, that means if you are a genuine Christian, not a churchgoer, not a Bible owner, not someone who has an affiliation with the pastor. I know him well. No. Those that are Christ, if you are a genuine Christian, you have crucified your flesh with its passions and desires. My flesh and your flesh has passions and desires for things which are not godly. You can say, you can look at me like, me? You and me. You and me. We want things that are not what God wants. But the Bible says, if we're Christ's, we have to crucify those. I've got to deny myself. I've got to be willing to sacrifice, make some sacrifices. And the Bible says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
See, it's scary when you've got to make a sacrifice. But can I say to you today, every sacrifice made for God, the other side of it is a newer you. When you're walking into the sacrifice, you're like, oh, this is scary. What happens? Can I say to you, every sacrifice, when you come out the other side, is a newer you.
Amen.
He done more when he was willing to sacrifice. The road of recovery, humility, trusting God, sacrifice. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.